Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What beautiful images are set before us today in the lectionary. Like a banquet of words to appetize our souls as we wait for the great day of the great wedding banquet to arrive. New heavens and a new earth. Children of light and children of the day. Destined not for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 10 virgins waiting with their lamps burning for the bridegroom to come, to go out to meet him. These are the images that meet us today. We'll focus on Jesus' parable to the 10 virgins, about the 10 virgins. Only half of them got to go in. Only 5 out of 10 were ready when the bridegroom arrived, were able to go in procession with him into the wedding hall, while the other 5 were left outside knocking, locked outside forever and ever. Jesus told this parable to his disciples and repeats it today to us with his living word in order to prepare us for that day, so that you may find yourselves in the half that's prepared when the bridegroom comes, to go in, to meet him, and to enter the wedding hall and begin the marriage feast with him that does not end. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. According to Jewish wedding custom, the bridegroom, on the appointed day, at the appointed time, would leave the home of his father and mother, would go with his friends, with his attendants, his groomsmen, to pick up his bride at her house with her attendants, and then would go in joyful procession to the marriage feast, to their new home where they would live as husband and wife from now on. Obviously, if it was at night, that procession was accompanied with lamps, burning lamps, with the attendants of the bride going before, leading the way. Throughout the scriptures, you know that God depicts himself, and specifically Jesus, as the bridegroom, and his church as the bride. Of course, this bride is totally unworthy to be chosen by the bridegroom, totally unworthy to be the bride. She's made up of all sinners, and the worst of sinners. But she has been chosen out of the world only by God's grace, washed with water and the Word of God in holy baptism. She has been fed and nourished by her bridegroom while she waits for the wedding day with his word, with his sacraments. This was a marriage covenant that was sealed by Jesus, the bridegroom himself, with his own blood when he shed it on the cross. Then he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God until he comes to claim his bride on that great day, to take her in joyful procession to their new home, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, as John refers to it in Revelation, as Isaiah referred to it himself in his prophecy about Jerusalem. It's not the earthly one anymore. It's the new one, the heavenly one, prepared as a bride to meet the bridegroom. Until then, we wait. With our feet firmly planted here on the earth, but with our eyes, with our hopes, with our longings and expectations set firmly in heaven, where our bridegroom is seated at the right hand of God. But Jesus warns us that while we're still here waiting, we are in danger. We are like those 10 virgins waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. That's how we wait for him. Those 10 virgins needed one thing only to enter the procession and enter the marriage hall. Each one needed her own burning lamp. 5 of them were foolish, Jesus says, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. We're talking about Christian people here. People who start out watching and waiting for the bridegroom, as all 10 of those virgins did. We're talking about Christians who, at least at first, are given a lamp of faith. Faith is like a burning lamp. It's the one thing you can't enter heaven without. Whoever hears my words, Jesus says, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Not a single work of yours would light the way to heaven. Not a single work of yours would prepare you to stand before God or to meet the bridegroom when he comes, but faith. Faith in Christ crucified for you. Faith in Christ who shed his blood for you, who rose from the dead for you. Faith in his word that promises eternal life to all who believe in Jesus. That faith ties you to his goodness, to his merit. It's his blood and his righteousness that makes you able to stand before God radiant, without wrinkle or spot or any blemish, as Paul says to the Ephesians. Faith lights the way to Christ and to his marriage feast. Faith that overflows in works of love and compassion and overcomes fear and doubt and the devil himself. Faith rejoices at the thought of spending forever in the new home of bridegroom and bride, in the new heavens and the new earth with Jesus. The 10 virgins then represent all Christians. All Christians start out longing for Jesus appearing with the lamp of faith burning, but the bridegroom will be delayed. Jesus says, he took longer to come than the foolish virgins expected him to. They were ready at first to run out and meet him in joyful procession to the marriage feast if he had come right away or if he had come sooner. But the longer he delayed, the more the flame in their lamp burned and consumed moment by moment the oil that was in it, so that there was none left by the time he came. So it is that the Christian life of watching can get old. As the cares and pleasures of this life compete for our attention, as life gets harder, and money gets tighter, and society around us gets more and more wicked and godless, as the body grows older and weaker, and pain grows stronger, As the cross that we bear as Christians in this life grows heavier and the daily self-denial grows more and more unbearable. Who's watching for the bridegroom anymore? I mean, who has time? So many other things to watch for, to be attentive to. The Christian life becomes like a fantasy novel that you pick up and enjoy while you read it, and then you put it down and get back to the real world of paying bills and watching TV. But see, Jesus has warned us ahead of time that this is how it will be, so that we're not taken unawares when life seems to make it seem like the bridegroom will never come. He has warned us and told us that he will be delayed in his return and that life will make us weary and sleepy as we wait. Your life of watching for the return of the bridegroom won't be a matter of coming to faith in Christ and within a matter of hours getting to heaven. It will be a matter of years, and in many cases a matter of decades, even before your death comes, much less before Christ returns, which will come at you don't know what day or hour. To prepare for a matter of years, for a matter of decades, to grow into a Christian faith that's not a matter of a torch that burns brightly for a moment and then burns itself out, but that burns slowly and continually until the very last day. That's what Christ calls upon us to have. And you will be tempted, enticed by this world to stop thinking about the bridegroom, to stop your waiting, to take your readiness for granted. But you dare not do that. Only 5 of the 10 virgins will be ready when the bridegroom comes. Only the wise ones. Only those who took oil along for their lamps to keep them burning during the bridegroom's long delay. What is it? What is this oil? How does one take it along? Just as the flame of a lamp is fed by oil, so the faith of Christians is fed by the Word of God. You were born again, the Apostle says, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. So, he says, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow up. Jesus says, my words are spirit, and they are life. The same Word of God that gave you new birth into a living hope, the Word of God that gave you the new birth of faith, is what feeds the flame and feeds your faith as you wait and as you watch. Christ has given the ministry of the Word, not only to bring you into his family one time through holy baptism, but to sustain you along the way with every word that comes from the mouth of God, to teach you with every word that's written in the Scriptures, to sustain you with the word of absolution again and again and again to penitent sinners, to feed and nourish your faith with the very body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, week after week and sometimes in between. These means of grace are God's instruments for keeping your lamps burning bright. So there's no excuse for running out of oil. You have a constant supply at the ready. This divine service and every divine service brings Jesus to you through his word, so that you are ready when Jesus comes to you in glory. as the bridegroom appears. And you have as many opportunities to dig into God's word as you want, and as many opportunities to be taught as you ask for, as many services or Bible classes to attend as you are willing. Those who take along this supply of oil can fall asleep in peace. Jesus doesn't criticize the five wise virgins for falling asleep at the delay of the bridegroom. They were wise. They had their supply of oil along. They were ready when the midnight cry came. They woke up and they were ready. You can fall asleep in peace. Literally, at night, you can go to sleep. You don't have to worry that you'll miss the cry at midnight of the bridegroom. Don't worry. He will wake you up. You won't miss it. And you can fall asleep in peace too, in that thing we used to call death. Don't worry. You won't miss it when the bridegroom comes. He himself will call out with a loud voice and wake you up from your sleep in the grave. The midnight cry will ring out, and you will join the wedding procession with joy and enter into that marriage hall. But those foolish virgins who neglected their lamps, who gave no thought to the fuel they would need, for those who began as Christians but foolishly neglected the means of grace, they will wake up too when the bridegroom comes. But for them it will be too late. There will be no dealers of oil who can help them at that time, no ministers of the gospel to preach or teach or absolve. When the bridegroom comes, either you're already prepared or it's too late. But you can be prepared now with a faith that is fed and nourished by the Word and the sacraments of God. We have come now to the end of another church year. Most of you here today are here most days when we gather together around Jesus in Word and sacrament. Some days you surely pay better attention than others. Some days you're more attentive, more serious about the words you listen to, the words you speak, the songs that you sing. I know it's true for you because it's certainly true for me. Jesus gives you an opportunity today to check your lamps, to check your oil, to fill up your flasks and to keep them full. Do you know the scriptures better today than you did at the beginning of this church year back last December? Are you equipping your children with the oil that will last their whole life through? Are you awake or asleep, watching for the bridegroom, or just taking your readiness for granted? Wake, awake. For night is flying. The watchmen on the heights are crying, "Awake, Jerusalem, arise." Not a single one of you can make yourself ready for that day and for the bridegroom's coming. But see, the Spirit of Jesus is preparing you today for that day. Repent and believe the gospel that for Jesus' sake, God forgives you your sins and will most certainly welcome you into his marriage hall. Until then, watch for the bridegroom, no matter how long he delays. "Behold," he says, "I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And may we be prepared for your coming, so that with our lamps trimmed and burning, we are prepared to meet you and spend eternity with you. For Jesus' sake, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.